Praise the Lord for the privilege of being here again to worship in spirit and in truth, with hearts full of gratitude. We certainly have reason and cause to thank God. When we read the Holy Scriptures, immerse ourselves in them, and recognize that God is walking this path of faith with us and has revealed His promises to us, then we know that we too are among the chosen ones. We are simply rejoicing that God has been gracious to us. According to the scripture, I am gracious to whom I am gracious. And you all know that there are indeed believers and unbelievers all over the world. There are people whom God chose before the foundation of the world based on His foreknowledge. God knew what man would be, how he would decide, and so he was able to make the decision in advance. It is not that God wanted to send some to heaven and others to hell. That is not the case. God wanted everyone to go to heaven, but because He is God and all-knowing, He knew that not everyone wants to go to heaven. And that's why He let them go their own way. God is simply just. He does not force anyone. Only volunteers will be in hell, and only volunteers will be in heaven. Only those who want to be there will be there. Those who don't want to be there will not be there. God will not force anyone to do one thing or the other. God has given people the freedom to make their own decisions, and in doing so, He remains just beyond any doubt. There is a lot to say here, especially in this one chapter. As Brother Rus has already mentioned, the word of prophecy is repeatedly placed upon the lampstand. What has been presented is confirmed by the prophetic word, and it was written and preached in accordance with this. Is this not the same thing that God has given us in these days? Say it once. Say it for yourselves. Have we worked this out for ourselves? No. God has given it to us. The same Holy Spirit who guided the brothers at the beginning now guides us at the end into the same Word, into the promises, in fact, into the whole counsel of God. It was not Paul who could boast of his wisdom. He was appointed as God's steward, as administrator of the mysteries of God. And that's why he could expound God's plan. It went up high, down low, far and wide, as it had been given to him by grace. But you also know that not all, as we have seen, not even Jews, there are also many unbelieving Jews, but there are also believing Jews. And especially when we think of election, we think of the 144,000 who will still be called out and sealed. God has also kept a remnant there. I myself wanted to take part in a radio discussion today. It was about baptism. I'm sure you all heard it on Deutschlandfunk. But the lady said, "We'll call you back." But first, she wanted to know what I was going to say. And it was about adult baptism and infant baptism. And I said, I would actually place the baptism of believers between infant baptism and adult baptism, based on Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized. And she said, yes, that's a very nice point. We'll call you back. But she didn't call back. She was probably afraid that faith would then become the focus. Anyway, we'll keep trying. One day we'll succeed in proclaiming the word of the Lord. Here, I may read the few verses from the previous chapter, because it has already been emphasized that it was the love of God that compelled Paul. And it says in Romans 8, from verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We were separated from God by disobedience and sin, but we have been united with God through Calvary, through the saving act of God in Christ. We have been reconciled with Him and bound to Him in eternal love. Nothing can separate us from this love of God. And then Paul certainly wanted to emphasize this when he said, I speak the truth in Christ. There is no other truth than the truth in Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that passes Him by passes by the truth. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And then comes the expression of great heaviness and continual sorrow in his heart. Here I must indeed ask all of us, myself included, whether this love of God, this saving love, already fills our hearts so much that we would be able to say, or even begin to say, and also mean what Paul said and meant, if he could depart and the others could enter, he would be ready to do so. So he stepped into the breach, as Moses stepped into the breach for the people and said, blot out my name from your book, but let the people live. He stepped into the breach. That is saving love, which exists not only in words, but in deeds. I wish for it before the outbreak of the last revival. I wish it for all of us with all my heart, that we may actually carry this divine saving love within us as part of our divine nature. Only then will we see the lost saved. As long as we are indifferent to them, God will do nothing. Let us be honest tonight. If we are indifferent, will God be able to do anything? If we do not care about the distress and lostness of people, their separation from God, what can God do then? But the moment we become like Paul and the early church, who could not help but say, the love of God constrains us. That's how it has to end. What does it say in the first church age message? I have this against you, that you have left your first love. In the end, we are to return to our first love, the first love of the firstborn. You have all heard the comparison very well. It has been read aloud about the promise. Abraham had many sons. He did not only have Isaac and Ishmael. He had a large number of sons and daughters. You can read about it after he remarried. But the promise was made to only one. And the one received the entire inheritance, and the others received gifts and went forth with those gifts. Isaac inherited everything. He was the heir of the same promise. So it is now. It is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of promise. Have we really come to understand what it means that God has children of promise? Perhaps there are even two kinds of children of God, those who will share in the first resurrection and those who will share in the second resurrection. Some believe the promises of God, and others, for them they mean nothing. And I can truly remember times when it was specifically about placing Brother Branham's ministry in its proper biblical context. And what can I tell you? They all admitted, even the greatest Pentecostal preachers, that there had never been such a man with such a ministry on earth since the days of Jesus and the apostles. But when it came to the question of whether they could believe that a promise of the word was being fulfilled here, they kicked and screamed, and they continue to do so to this day. If there had been no promise, God would not have done anything or could not have done anything. The promise was the basis of God's work to send a prophet and restore all things. Who believes the promises? The true children of God, for whom they are intended, who have been predestined for them. Listen, I read it to you here from Galatians in the last days of the old year, and I hope that it did not just pass us by. I will read it again, Galatians 3, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Not just one nation, all nations. That's why he was called Abraham, the father of many nations. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We can continue reading in Galatians 3, verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. We know what this is about. I read on, verse 22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Very simple. You can read the last paragraph here as a comparison from Galatians 4 with what we read earlier. Galatians 4, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Have we fully understood this, brothers and sisters? Have we fully understood that we not only have the word of promise, but that we ourselves, in this promised seed of God, were chosen and predestined as children of God before the foundation of the world? And because we are, we believe every promise that God has given in His Word. And the Spirit of promise comes upon the children of promise. But listen to what else is written in verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Isaac left Ishmael alone. But what was the opposite? Great distress. Great distress. What is the situation today? Who persecutes and who is persecuted? This shows us exactly who is who. No one needs to say it in words. It becomes obvious. Where is the amen? It becomes obvious what we are. Are we persecuting or are we being persecuted? That is the simplest question. The one begotten by the Spirit was persecuted. Now listen to that again. But as then he that was born after the flesh, in earthly terms, both of them were brought into being through human procreation. But one was begotten according to the promise, and therefore the blessing of God rested upon him. But as then he that was born after the flesh, that is, according to human understanding, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, that is, according to the will of God, based on the promise, so it is now. It has never been any different, and will never be any different. In verse 30 it says, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. One actually should read everything that precedes this, starting, for example, with verse 23 or even with verse 22, in order to have the full context. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. I read verse 23 in Galatians 4. But he of the free woman was by promise. Everything that is to be blessed by God and will happen in the church must happen because of a promise on which we stand, and then we can witness God fulfilling His promise. That is the blessing, and in this it becomes manifest that God is with us. Oh, I would have loved to have been sitting there where Paul preached. I tell you quite honestly, I would have loved to have been sitting there where he preached until late into the night and expounded the counsel of God. I am glad that we have the Bible. Thank God for the Old and New Testament. Thank God for the prophets. Thank God for the apostles. The scribes should depart. In verse 24 it says, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. With what were they enslaved? With all the statutes and everything that goes with them. Outwardly it looked as if they were even enslaved by the word of God. They had the letter, but not the revelation. In verse 26 it says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That is our mother. If someone, you know, sometimes you have to say things, not here, but on other trips, when people talk about a mother church to which they all want to return, then we as believers know one thing. We were not born from somewhere. Our mother is above, the new Jerusalem. That is the dwelling place of the bride. When John was told, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb, what did he see? The new Jerusalem, adorned with the glory of God. That is our dwelling place. That is where we will be. There are several other scriptures that could be read here. But we also think especially of Isaac and his two sons, Esau and Jacob. This is one of the most difficult passages in the Holy Scriptures to understand. No one had yet seen the light of this world, and God had already determined the matter, because he knew what this one would be and what that one would be. I remember a sermon by Brother Branham where he said that Jacob was much worse than Esau in his nature. Esau was a really good boy, as it should be, and Jacob was a trickster, a deceiver, a swindler, and he even got his birthright through cunning and deceit, didn't he? Did he get it through fasting and praying? Pardon? Through fasting and praying? No, with cunning and deceit. And God was with him. And God was with him. It is not the outward circumstances that are significant, but God's purpose. What God has determined for a person must be given to him. And if outward things contributed to it, God did not object at all. But you know, the old men of God had the guidance of the Spirit within them. Who was it who laid his hands across his sons and blessed them? Who was it? Jacob. And who was it who said, not like this? Joseph. Not like this. And what did Jacob say? Oh yes, God has laid my hands across. Let it be so. There were providences that were simply there, that no man knew or planned, but which God ordained and executed at the appointed hour, regardless of what others who were watching would say. God knows what He is doing even today. He does not need to give account to anyone for it. It says here, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. It is hard to understand, we all admit, but that is what it says in the Word, and that is what we must believe. There is no other way. We must believe it, as it is written in the Word of God. There are still people today who have been loved by God, and they come to Him. They feel the pull of the Spirit. They allow themselves to be addressed by the Word, and they come to the Lord. They are drawn. They cannot do otherwise. Why are we here under the sound of the Word? Because we feel drawn to hear the Word. And there is no service, not even the slightest, in which God does not speak to us. On the contrary, God speaks to our hearts through every word that is read or recited. Let us return to Paul. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Then comes the list, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. And yet, they have made no use of them. On the contrary, they have made our Lord's ministry very difficult here on earth. And once He had to tell them in all seriousness who they really are. And that is written in John 8. John 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. What words come to mind now? 2 Thessalonians 2. Because they did not believe the truth, God sent them strong delusions. Whoever is from the truth hears God's word. He cannot do otherwise. He hears God's word. We have also read the scripture here that sound almost presumptuous, which John wrote at that time. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There are different spirits. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And it is written, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And we have experienced this in a wonderful way over the years. Believe me, I am grateful to God when I think about how He has truly shown and revealed His word, His promises, His entire plan to us in a way that has never been seen on earth before. Are you also grateful for this? Oh yes, it is just the grace of God. There is no other way to put it. We did not have great prophets or great apostles here, but we had the great God who stands by His word and who still speaks and reveals Himself through His Spirit today. And He knew that we would receive what He would reveal. If He had not seen that we would receive it, He would not have bothered to reveal it to us. God knows exactly who believes and who does not believe. And that's why He speaks to those who believe Him. We have all read it in the last words here in Romans 9. There it says in verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. But whoever does not believe in Him will be put to shame. Faith and trust in our Lord must simply be there if His word and His will are to be revealed to us. We have trust in God. And why do we have it? Because we have not walked in God's way with our own righteousness, but have put our trust in His grace from the outset. And we have received what we have heard in faith. And therefore, it has been revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. The Apostle also explains this in his letter to the Hebrews. Because they did not mix what they heard with faith, they did not attain the goal. It is said of Abraham, he believed God, and that was accounted to him for righteousness. What does John write in his letter? Whoever does not believe God makes him a liar. Who dares to make God a liar? He who is truth itself through and through. Let us believe God with all our hearts. Believe Him more than we have believed until now. Everything He has promised, He will certainly keep. To the people of God, the people of promise, the children of promise, everything applies. The glory of God, the adoption, the covenants, the law, the service, everything. Everything. To whom does it belong? To those who are born of God and have been transferred into the sonship, who can say, Abba, Father. And as we have emphasized often enough, we say it again, God has given promises, And at all times it has been revealed who believed him and who did not believe him. And all who believed him have already gone before us and are waiting for the hour of the fulfillment of the whole plan of salvation of our God, when all, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, all the elect of the Old and New Testament, will be in glory at the great marriage supper with our Lord. Why will they be there? Because they believed God. That is the most important thing. Many believe in God, but to believe what God has said and to expect that He will fulfill it. I rejoiced with you, and Brother Rus also emphasized this time and again. It has been highlighted here what the prophets in the Old Testament had foretold, whether from Moses, Isaiah, or Hosea. I rejoice in this. And believe me, it is the same Holy Spirit who has led us into the depths of the Word. And we claim and testify that the message of the hour has brought us closer to the promises that were in the Word, and that they were revealed so that our faith might be anchored in them, and so that we might ultimately witness all that God has promised, and then come from believing unto seeing. He has, as it is written here, two kinds of vessels, vessels for honor and vessels for dishonor. If He is merciful to the vessels of dishonor and is long-suffering, how much more will He be merciful to the vessels of honor? May He make us, by His grace, vessels for His glory and honor. God has mercy on whom He wills. According to the scripture, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Today we praise the mercy of our God. It does not depend on our running or on our willing. If it depended on running, how many are running early in the morning? They run, but they are not shown the way of God. Not by running, not by willing, but by God's mercy. And we praise this divine mercy that has been bestowed upon us. It is grace and mercy that we have to praise, and the love of God that has been manifested on us. Thanks be to God for the Apostle Paul. Thanks be to God for the expositions in the Holy Scriptures. It is a standard. A direction is shown here, how the men of God have placed everything biblically. You can take the trouble to read, especially in Hebrews and in Romans, how often reference is made to the Old Testament. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will remain forever. And God's Word begins with Genesis and ends with Revelation 22, the last verse. Let us believe it today and no longer doubt, but simply accept as true that we too, like Isaac, are children of God's promise, that we became believers in order to believe what God has promised in His Word. Examine yourselves. If you can believe the promises that God has given in His Word, especially those given for this time, then let that be proof to you that you have been chosen by God. Otherwise, the word would not have spoken to you at all. You would have continued on the broad way with everyone else. Why did God speak to you? Because you are among the chosen ones. He has placed the word of God's promise upon the lampstand, so that we may hear it, see it, accept it, and believe it from our hearts. And then, as it is written here, in verse 28, "For he will finish the work, and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." Praise be to his holy name. A short work will the Lord make upon the earth, not in heaven. He will finish it upon the earth. What word? The word that he has promised. All the things that are written in the word. For he will finish the work. Most certainly. Not uncertain. Certain. Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. May God make us joyful today, grateful that many can pray and thank the Lord for the privilege of choosing us, of opening our minds to understand the Scriptures, and of placing faith in our hearts. Without effort, we can believe from our hearts what he has said in his word and what he has promised. God's promises remain. They never falter. Jesus sealed with his own blood what he promised in his word, as the song goes. Heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains may disappear, but those who seek will find that God's word remains true forever. Amen. Let us stand and worship. Heavenly Father, my heart is moved, my spirit shaken. How great thou art, how faithful. You sent your word, you sent your spirit, you sent your prophet, all in divine harmony, to shine light in the darkness for your people. You have children of promise who hear the word of promise and believe, who receive the spirit of promise and are led into all truth. We thank you so much for the word read and reflected here today. Almighty God, together we thank you. You, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are our God. Praise be to your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Once again I thank you from my heart for the great privilege that we have heard your word fresh from the throne in our time, that promises have been placed on the lampstand. You have sent the promised prophet to place the promises upon the lampstand in this prophetic age. Lord, we thank you for the parallels. Just as in the beginning, your servants always returned to the word and placed everything biblically, so you have let the same anointing of your Holy Spirit rest on your people. And the same thing is happening before our eyes. Praise be to your name. You walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. You speak and you work. Blessed is he who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, I now ask from my heart that in our midst all sighing, every need, all confusion, that everything be taken away, every burden, everything that still stands in your way, that it be removed, that the enemy no longer have any claim on us, and that we may be a people consecrated to you, a people sanctified to you, proclaiming the virtues of Him who has brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Lord, you know all things, and I ask you again from my heart that it may soon be done, that the way may be prepared for you, and your glory may be revealed, that all the promises that are yes and amen may be fulfilled in the church. You have promised restoration. We wait for it, for you will give it. Praise and glory be to your name. Also the prayer requests, the intercessions, all the prayers that ascend to your throne. Faithful God, you see the letters here. You know the needs. We now ask you together, stretch out your arm. Let healing and deliverance come. Yes, may signs and wonders happen as confirmation of your word. May what is reported in the Gospels happen wherever the Gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. We thank you, the living God, as the spiritual seed of Abraham, as the Israel of God, as God's warriors, upon whom the sun has risen, as upon Jacob. Lord, we thank you for this, and we praise you, and give glory to you alone, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.